Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're going to flip over to the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, and we're going to land a perfect 10 on chapter number 50, verse number 19. So Genesis chapter 50, verse number 19. Amen. Listen, if you can indulge me, but honor God, please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Genesis chapter number 50, starting at verse number 19. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. It says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. He said, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the living God. Amen. Amen. And the title that we're working with on today is simply, But God Meant It. But God Meant It. But God Meant It. Listen, if you're near somebody, or if you're alone in the house, texting in the chat and just tell them, listen, but God meant it, but God meant it, but God meant it. Amen. We're here. We find ourselves here in the book of Genesis as we're dealing with a familiar passage of scripture, talking about a familiar character of the Bible, that being Joseph, right? And one thing we know about Joseph, he's the firstborn of Jacob to Rachel, right? So between Jacob and Rachel, he's the first child between those particular two, right? And we understand when Joseph was born, he was born with the favor that was already upon his life. So he came into the earth with the favor to the point that his father loved him. And I'm talking about his brothers knew it. His father was not ashamed of it. His father loved him in such a manner. He favored him in such a manner over and beyond all of his other brothers that it brought about an envy and a jealous within his brothers that they plotted against him. I'm talking about plotted initially to kill him. But thanks be unto God for Reuben. Reuben intervened and said, no, we're not going to kill him. And so they threw him in the ditch. Reuben had plans to come back and save him. And we know the story. Before Reuben get back to actually save him, you know, some travelers came by and the brothers sold him too. And that's why he was taken down into Egypt, right? But we see the intentionality of God, right? So as we're continuing with our current sermon series, as we talk about what God meant it, I want to give you our definitions for the word intentionality. Intentional, right? Intentional is simply defined as this right here. Definition number one means it is done with intention, design, or purpose. And so we will see the intention of God. We will see that this plan that is unfolding, even as it appears that the brothers are doing something so malicious towards their brother, but we're going to see God is manipulating things behind the scenes, right? So we'll see the intentionality of God as it begins to unfold concerning the life of Joseph. So intention simply means done with intention, design, or purpose. And so as I've been studying the Hebraic language a little bit, you know, in my studying of the word, I found out that the word coincidence doesn't exist in the language, right? And so even when I think about the word coincidence does not exist in the Hebraic language, it brought me to this conclusion that God does nothing by coincidence, but by everything he does by divine purpose. Everything that God allows, it is by divine purpose. It is intertwined in his divine purpose, right? And so when we look at definition number two, it talks about done with full awareness of what one is doing, done with full awareness of what one is doing. So God is fully aware of what is taking place in regards to his divine purpose, his divine will, even as he allows the brother to do the things that they're doing in regards to Joseph. God is completely aware of what's taking place, but it's all being woven into the tapestry of life. It's all being woven into the divine purpose of God. Amen. And so even as we come back and we're talking about Joseph, his name means in the Hebrew, it means Jehovah has added. Jehovah has added. And we see, like, again, as I kind of rehash, when he came into the earth realm, he came with a favor. So God has added a favor unlike we have seen in the lives of people before. So we see his father has favored him to the point that he's given him a coat of many colors, right? To the point that whether he was walking around flaunting his coat of colors, I don't know. But we also understand he had a dream, interpretation of dreams and things of that nature, right? So when God began to give him dreams, he interpreted the dreams and he told his father and his brothers of what God was saying concerning the dreams, right? And his brothers did not like the fact that his dreams were being interpreted, that they, including his father, would have to bow down to Joseph, right? And so what we see clearly throughout the book of Genesis, how God would use him, elevate Joseph to a place of authority in the nation of Egypt, where he would utilize Joseph and his position and his authority to actually intervene and save his father and his brothers due to the famine that was taking place in the land. And so I can appreciate what God was doing in his life. You know, God was favoring him. And while God was favoring him, his brothers, they were rising up in envy and jealousy towards him, moving against him, because they thought, well, how dare our father can love you like this and not love us in the same manner. Amen. Do you know somebody and can you relate? Even in your household, where the enemy will use vessels right in your household, whether it be your spouse, or whether it be your dog, or whether it be your sister, or your brother, but God will use any vessel that is open, or the enemy, I should say, will use any vessel that is open to try to hinder or thwart the plan of God or the purposes of God. But tell somebody, it just won't work. It just won't work, because God meant it. God meant it. Everything that you're doing, listen, God is going to take it and he's going to use it for his divine purpose. Amen. He's going to use it for his divine purpose. And so we find ourselves here in Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 19 through 21, right? This is going to be my foundational scripture, right? But I want to flip back over to, if we can go to Genesis chapter number 49, right? We're going to go to Genesis chapter number 49 and we're going to start at verse number 22 to give you a little bit of what's taking place, right? And this is Jacob, Yaakov, Israel, the father of Joseph, where he has now gathered his sons before he's getting ready to die, and he's getting ready to prophesy or speak or release the word of the Lord over their lives concerning them, right? And this is what he has to say about Joseph. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Let's pause for the cause right here on verse number 22, because if God meant it, we got to understand why his divine purpose was working on behalf of Joseph, right? Joseph being in the place of Egypt, his position and his authority, God would utilize it to save a nation through Joseph, right? And so we see, as Jacob is prophesying or releasing the word over Joseph, he says Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now, this word bough is interpreted in the Hebrew as son, right? And I'm going to throw up this Hebraic definition, the Hebraic word picture, so you can get a better understanding of what it is to be a son from the Hebraic prince or culture. It talks about the son, right? He's the life of the family, or he's the one that builds, or he's the one that continues the family, right? And so we see, just like Jacob is speaking concerning Joseph, how he's saying he's a fruitful bough, right? And as we can continue down in these scriptures, we'll see, right? He's going to be the one, because of him being in the position, right? Although the enemy meant it for evil unto him, to sell him into slavery, him to go through all these different transitions that he had to go through while being a part of the nation of Egypt and all these different things, we see God was still manipulating things behind the scene. He still had a favor, so much so that even when he was sold into slavery, right, his coat of many colors was stripped off of him, right? He then had to place on a coat of a servant, right, by being in the house of Potiphar. Now, some people call it the coat of temptation, because Potiphar's wife was tempting him, but the man was a man of integrity. I bless God. We can't find that many men of integrity nowadays. That's why we say pray for the men. That's why we say God save the men. Amen. Because I don't know what this chick looked like. She could have been bad, right? And the fact that she was in a place of authority, right? You got to understand, she had a favor that came with her, right? She had people who was going to move at her pace, at the snap of her finger, and all these different things. Simply put, listen, if she wanted it, more than likely she was going to get it. But thank God there was a standard on the inside of Joseph. Thank God that Joseph reverenced and he honored the God of the Hebrews, right? Jehovah, the Almighty God, the self-existing God, to the point that he was able to turn down a piece. You got to understand, he was able to turn down an Egyptian piece, a royal Egyptian piece. Yeah, he was able to turn down for the sake of God, right? So we'll see how he is a fruitful bough. So after being stripped, because he stood and he passed the test, right? We see he was then stripped from his coat of a servant, and then he had to place on the coat of a prisoner, right? Now we still see the favor of God, because though he was placed in slavery, he became a servant and one of the highest ranking officials, right? He became a servant within that household. But then when that coat was stripped from him, he had to go to the prison, put on a prison coat. And we see see he found favor even in the prison system. He was, the boy was a bad man. And because he was able to interpret dreams and different things while he was in prison, right? We see he began to have favor to where he was the one that was overseeing the prisoners, a prisoner's overseeing of the prisoners, right? And it wasn't long that, you know, because he interpreted the dream, you know, of the baker and the man who stood with the king holding his glass of wine and all those different things right there, that person remembered Joseph when the Pharaoh had a dream, right? And Joseph interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, and this again brought favor to the point that now Pharaoh brought him. He was the second ranking person within the nation of Egypt behind Pharaoh. So we now see the favor, right? So stripped from the coat of many colors, he put on the coat of a servant, then stripped and put on the coat of a prisoner, and he's now been stripped of the coat of a prisoner, where he's now placing on a garment or the coat of authority. Do anybody know what I'm talking about when we talk about authority? Or dare I say, some would say the coat of a prince, right? The coat of a prince, still denoting the coat of authority. So he now has on the coat of authority, and it's in this coat that God is going to use him for his divine purpose. So we see the intentionality of God. The enemy meant it for evil to sell him into slavery, but through all the transitions, the coat that I really want you to end up with is the coat of authority. Yeah, it's something about the coat of many colors, right? It is distinguishing all the things that God is expressing about your life, how colorful your life is. And you got to understand, I can only imagine with all the different colors, red, the yellows, the blues, and the greens, and the purples, and all these different things, there had to be one spot in black in that color, denoting you're going to have a dark spot in your life. But listen, I am going to utilize even this black or dark moment in your life because I'm an intentional God and you will see my intention. Listen, it may not be how you want it to be and it may not come when you want it, but just trust that I am God and I'm moving and I'm working behind the scenes. Just know that I have a plan and I have a purpose. And you got to understand that I'm watching over my word to perform it. Tell somebody, he's watching over his word to perform it. And what I believe concerning us as a people, God has watched over his word to the point he said, now it is now time that I perform what I've been watching over all these years. I have now got to perform. So what I believe is taking place in us as a people, there is something that is happening on the inside and it is the Lord's doing. Oh yes. There is a discipline that you can go and build for yourself. And there is a discipline that I can go and build for myself as I take time to go and study the word, as I take time to carve out time in my day to go and seek God, fast and pray, all these different things. But there is a discipline that God himself builds on the inside of you. And it is the Lord's doing. I'm talking about a discipline where he's bringing you back to a place of being disciplined about the things of God. There is an excitement about the things of God. I am excited about prayer and intercession. I am excited about giving God praise. I am excited about lifting my hands in worship unto the Most High God. It is a discipline that God himself is building on the inside of us. What is taking place? It is the Lord's doing. And so even we see this taking place with Joseph. Joseph, oh yeah, it is the Lord's doing, right? The enemy thought he was moving and thought he was in control, but you got to understand the Bible lets me know when you interpret the word El for God or God denoting El, it means in the Hebraic context, the strong controller. We understand God is the strong controller. I'm talking about he is in control at all times when it doesn't feel like, seem like, look like. Know that he is the strong controller. He is in control, right? And even the things that he allows the enemy to do, he is still in control of that right there. He's going to turn what appears or feels to be evil. He's going to turn that thing for the good, right? That it will bring a glory unto the Father, that it will bring a glory that we haven't seen before. And so what we see, God is working things out behind the scene. So we see, he says, Joseph is a fruitful bow. He's a fruitful son, right? He is going to produce. He is going to produce. Not just enough for himself, but what God would allow to be established and produced through him, it will save a people. Come on, you got to bless his name right there. I hope you caught it in the scriptures. This is about a people, right? So he said, Joseph is a fruitful bow, right? A fruitful son, right? If you can throw that image back up, right? It talks about the son. He's the builder of the family. He's the reason why the family continues, coupled with that of the daughter, right? They build the family or they build the house. The son and the daughter, they build the house, right? The family is extended because of the son. The family continues because of the son, right? He's the life of the family, right? He's a seed carrier. And so we understand, even as Jacob is depositing or speaking a relationship releasing the word over Joseph. He's talking about how he's going to be fruitful, right? And in order to be fruitful, what's produced on the inside of you, it must begin to spread. It must be unleashed that it is able to spread to other people, right? And so we see because of the position and because of the authority that God now has Joseph in, listen, it is going to spread to the fact that, listen, God is going to use him to intervene to save a nation, the nation of Israel, right? So he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by your well, right? Even a fruitful bough by a well. Remember how the scripture tells us in the book of Psalms, a tree planted by the rivers of living water, a tree planted by the rivers of living water. So understand, God got him by a good water source, right? A good water source. If there are times where you feel famished or you feel empty on the inside, or you feel as if you're dying of thirst, listen, but I got you by a good water source so that you can survive. So that you can be nourished, so that you can be washed, so that you can be cleansed, so that this world can quench your thirst, right? So he said, whose branches run over the wall? So notice, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches, now it talks about branches, branches denoted in the Hebraic means daughters, right? It means whose daughters are going to run over the wall. Oh, you ought to bless his wonderful name right there. The son who is going to have daughters, right? Joseph, who will produce daughters, right? But the daughter's branches means daughter, right? And here's the Hebraic word picture and definition for the word daughter, right? Daughter is simply put what? It is the sign of the house of the covenant of the family, right? And we said between the son and the daughter, God utilizes them to actually build the family, right? They build and strengthen the house. They build and strengthen the family, right? And then the daughter, she is the sign of the house. Anytime you want to understand or know what's going on inside of a house, all you got to do is look at a daughter. All you got to do is look at the female child, and she's going to give you a clear indication what's taking place on the inside of the house. Yes, yeah, because she's the sign of the house. Not only that, she's the coveted of the house, right? I'm reminded when my second child was born, and mind you, you got to understand, we were on all kind of stuff to prevent a child to come into this world, right? But God, in all of his intentionality, saw fit that he would bring majesty, majestad, yes, because I'm embracing my Cuban heritage, right? Yes, that was my Espanol understanding. Yes, I dropped it on y'all, right? But listen, he saw fit that he would bring majesty into this earth realm, right? And he told my wife and I, while we were struggling with God, how we're about to take care now a second child, God, how is this thing going to be? And I remember the word of the Lord came through our pastor. He said, because of this child, talking about masses, because of this child, there will never be no lack in the house. And if the word of the Lord has not been true, I will be a lie. God has made sure he has provided so there has not been any lack. And you got to understand, because of the female child within my house, the covenant or the promises of God we have seen have been made manifest within the house. And see, you ought to bless God for the woman that's in the house, because God is watching over his promise, his covenant word that he spoke concerning that child or that woman. Understand, you got to understand, the women child are special to God. That's what you got to understand. Apostle used to say it all the time, God funny about his daughter, he's funny about his daughters. And we see because of the woman, because of the female child, God is going to see fit that what I spoke concerning the house, because of the woman, because of the female child, the covenant, it shall be established. The covenant I'm going to bring it to pass. Not only am I going to watch it, but I'm going to perform it. She is the covenant of the family. She's special. She's special. She's special, right? And so we see through the son and the daughters, the house is strengthened and the house is built, right? So Jacob is prophesying. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches, whose daughters shall run over the wall. Now look at this. It didn't say the sons and daughters, but it said the branches, the daughters are going to run over the wall. Oh, you got to understand right there. There is something that God has placed even uniquely on the inside of the daughters, the female counterpart, that because of who Joseph is, something is going to rise up in the women that they'll be able to run over the wall. That thing that was trying to stop us from progressing. Oh yes, that thing that was trying to block us, that thing that was trying to keep us out, because the wall is designed to keep us out. Oh, but God is going to see fit. Listen, while the men are occupied leading, while the men are occupied hunting, while the men are occupied providing, listen, I'm doing something in the women, that this thing that was designed to keep you out, I'm going to make it so that the women can run over the top of the wall. Yeah, and I'm about to give you access where something was designed to keep you out. Listen, women, I'm about to give you access that you didn't have before. And if God allows the woman to bring bring access. Listen, she's going to bring the whole family through this door, through this gate that God is going to allow now to be have her access through. Listen, even when they don't open the door for you, huh? You ought to bless the name of the Most High God. Listen, He still got a way. When they don't open the door, when they don't open the window, you ain't got to worry about kicking the door down. Listen, He said, listen, I'm going to let you run over the wall. The wall not tall enough to keep you out. It ain't wide enough to get you from going in. He said, made a way that you'll be able to get past the thing that was designed to keep you out, the thing that was designed to block you out. He's made it so, woman, He's made it so, women of God, that you shall run over the wall. And He says, listen, the archers have sorely grieved Him and shot at Him and hated Him. And we understand, even when you talk about the wall is designed for the watchman, not just the watchman to abide, to look and see in the distance over the horizon if our enemies are approaching. But the wall is also designed for the place for the archers to abide, right? Listen, we're going to shoot from a high position, right? Taking out our targets down below. But you got to understand, though they're up high and though they got their bows and they got their arrows, listen, that is not going to stop you. God said, listen, I'm gonna make it so that you can run over the wall, right? Meaning those who are in position to stop you along with the wall will not be enough to stop you. I bless the name of the Most High God, because you got to understand, He tells us in verse number 24, He says, but His bow abode in strength. Oh, the thing that you're bringing against me, you got to understand that I have in my hands, it is greater than what you're coming against me with. It is going to outlast what you're bringing against me, what you're coming against me with. What I have in my hand, it is greater. It is stronger. It is mightier than what you're coming against me with. And I bless the name of the Most High God, because you meant it for evil, but you got to understand, but God, He meant it for my good. He meant it for my good. Yes, He did. He said, but His bow of gold and strength, my weapon shall not crumble. The thing that God has placed in my hand, it shall not fall apart. It shall not be wasted. It is going to bring forth the glory unto the Lord God. He says, and the arms of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And you got to understand, there were some times when you do get a little tired, you do get a little fatigued, you do get a little weary, and you do get a little weak. But God tells us, listen, it's in your weakness that my strength is made perfect. He tells us that my grace is sufficient. And you got to understand, will you allow the grace of God to be made efficient in your life when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling vulnerable, when you're feeling like, listen, the enemy is getting the best of me. He's just tapping me all on the top of my head. But there was a God who was mindful of you. There was a God who's watching you. There was a God listening who desires to intervene and interrupt the plans of the enemy, to the point He says, and His arms and the arms of His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. Listen, there are days God understands you need strength. Will you allow God to strengthen you? Because there are many days we try to do things on our own. He says, listen, He's a present help in time of trouble. In those moments that you feel you're having to wrestle and deal with trouble, do you allow God to be a present help? Meaning He's there now. He wants to reveal Himself now. Meaning He wants to intervene now. Meaning He wants to stop and block the plans of the enemy now. Meaning He wants to back the enemy up now. He wants to show His strong arm now. He wants to rebuke and bind the enemy for His name's sake now. But will you give God the opportunity? We call Him the gentleman of heaven. And because He's the gentleman of heaven, He is not just going to barge in and take over. You have got to give Him permission to come in. Will you give God permission to come in? Will you give God permission to be God? Say, God, you got permission to be God in my life. Come and be God in my life. Come and be the strong controller. Come and be my avenger. Come and be my defender. Come and be my strong tower. Come and be my defense. Come and be my shield and my buckler. Come and be my healer, God. Come and be my strength, God. Will you give God permission to be who He desires to be? He said, by the hands of the Almighty God was He strengthened. He said, from this is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And you got to understand, it's going to be out of this nation that God is now intervening by the means of Joseph, that the shepherd, the stone of Israel, we're talking about Jesus the Christ, He will come forth out of this nation. But had Joseph not been in position, because you got to understand, if it had been I, and listen, I'm not tripping. I know if it had been one of y'all, and you, your family, your brothers, or your sisters, so you to slavery, oh, you would have been plotting all kind of revenge, how you was going to stab Reuben in his neck and how you was going to smash Judah's big toe and say, see how your praise got off of that, Judah, with a smashed big toe. I want to see how you going to dance. How well you going to dance if I smash your big toe for throwing me in this pit and selling me off because my daddy, I didn't ask for this coat. My daddy decided to give me this coat. If you got an issue, take up issue with our father, Jacob, but don't have an issue with me because he saw fit to give me a coat of many colors. You don't even understand the problems that I feel that has now entered into my life because of this coat right here. It's because of this coat that you threw me in this pit. It's because of this coat that I was sold into slavery. It's because of this coat, listen, that I had to go to prison. It's because of this coat that a high-ranking official's wife tried me. It was all because of this coat right here that our daddy decided to give me. So if you really got issue, it's with our father. And see, you have that in families right there where you got siblings. There was that sibling rivalry. Listen, and you got to understand the rivalry is not about what's between the two siblings, but it's about what you really feel about one of your parents has done or said. And so your issue is not with your sibling, but it's with your parent. Go talk to your mama. When you feel like your mama has loved your sister better than she's loved you, or you feel like your daddy, listen, he was more concerned about you rather than them. Go talk to the daddy. Well, go talk to the mama. That's where the issue really lies. It's not with your sibling. And you got to understand why the enemy keeps bringing division in the household. He keeps trying to bring division amongst the ones who are going to continue and strengthen the family. Mom and daddy already did their part by laying the foundation. And you got to understand the enemy is wearing, he's breaking and tearing at the foundation now that he has access to the children, right? And so we are the ones that are supposed to strengthen and build the house. The legacy of the house is supposed to go on because of us. But if we allow ourselves to yield to the strategies and to the ploys of the enemy, understand what God was trying to build this foundation through our parents. The enemy is now tearing down this foundation of the family. So listen, sister, listen, brother, man, you got to get yourself together and about your sibling, but it's about what the father or your mother might have did or said. Go and deal with the real issue. So he says what? In verse number 25, he says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lie on the blessings of the breast and of the womb. You got to understand, this is going to come by God. So what Jacob is saying as he's prophesying over Joseph, he's saying, listen, you know, even for God to bring forth the shepherd out of his nation of people, it is going to come by the hand of God, the Father, who shall help us. He said, and it's going to come by the Almighty God, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven. Bless thee with blessings of heaven, right? And we've been taught a long time ago, blessings are not just materialistic things, right? But we understand Hebraically, blessings are the words that are spoken and released from the Father over the children, right? So now the heavenly Father wants to release his words unto you, right? Not just his words, but again, we incorporate and blesses those things that God will bless us with, right? Tangible things as well, right? But more importantly, the blessings are the words spoken and released by the Father concerning the children, right? And so it says, listen, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. There's nothing like getting a word from heaven, because to get a word from heaven is to know that all of heaven is in support of this word. To get a word from heaven is to know that all of heaven is backing this word. All of heaven is going to make sure that this word has to come to pass. What the Father has spoken, it must come to pass. We don't care who rises up against you. We don't care who's trying to stop you. We don't care who wants to show you favor. You got to understand heaven has released the word on your life. Heaven has released the word concerning you and what heaven has spoken. God is going to see fit that all of heaven backs and see that what he's spoke comes to pass, right? So he says, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep that lie under, right? So there are even things down here in this earth realm, blessings down in this earth realm that God is saying, listen, not only blessings from heaven, but blessings in your earth realm. Now when we talk about these tangible things, right? Here now you see the tangible things, because you got to understand, Joseph was a blessed man. He was a blessed man, being in the position and authority that he had within the nation of Egypt at this particular time, the most powerful nation in the world, in the known world at this particular time. So, you know, all the gold and all these different things, he had this at his disposal, right? He had this. Matter of fact, he wore chains of gold, according to what we understand. He wore chains of gold around his neck, denoting his position and denoting his authority, right? So wearing gold, you know, chains around his neck, that wasn't nothing new, right? It was symbolizing his position and his authority. Rings on his finger and all different things right there. Coverings on his head, dresses upon his head, and all these different things. Children were exposed to all of these different goals and things, and that simply because of who he was. So we see the blessings of the deep or that lie underneath, blessings in the natural realm. That shall come forth from the Father. And this is blessings of the breast and of the womb, right? Denoting that, listen, I'm going to establish life, right? And so we look at the blessings of the breast and of the womb, denoting the offspring, these particular blessings, the offspring. Your breasts are going to be blessed. The wombs are going to be blessed. You got to understand, I am going to establish this nation as I bring a people forth, as I bring forth a people to encompass everything concerning this nation, to be this nation that I spoke about, this nation that shall be a nation of priests, that shall be a blessing to all the known world. Amen. So he says what? The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. And what this is what Jacob wanted to understand. Because remember, God spoke blessings, or God spoke words to Abraham, to Isaac, right? And Jacob's father, Isaac, listen, God was trying to bring forth the covenant word in their life, establishing what he said concerning the promised land and how God was going to bless this people, establish them and multiply them and all these different things. So Jacob was saying, listen, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the most bound, right? So even when he talks about the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, right? Even what I've been able to produce. And you got to understand what was passed down from Abraham to Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob, right? And what Jacob was able to establish on his own accord. He's saying, all that I have had, right? What I consider to be a blessing, right? It is going to be nothing considering what God is about to do for you, right? The glory that was upon my head, the authority that I had that was upon my head, it would be nothing in comparison to what God is about to do in you. You got to understand. He said, unto the utmost bound of everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, right? So what you thought I had, if you thought I had a lot, listen, what God is about to unleash in the life of Joseph, right? Don't talk about a Joshua generation. I remember when our apostle gave us the great assignment for us to have tribes, how we were training up other leaders and stuff, you know, from the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers within these tribes, right? And I remember I was an apostle of a particular tribe, and my tribe was this, called Joseph. I thank God because Joseph was blessed, right? And we see the blessings of God being demonstrated and illustrated and spoken concerning the life of Joseph, right? It said they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. He said he's got a crown denoting authority. The one that was separated from his brothers, right? It's going to be, this is the one that God is going to use. The one that was ostracized, the one that was rejected, the one that has been overlooked, the one that has not been, you know, favored by everybody else, but was favored by God. The one that you didn't find, you couldn't find no reason why you wanted to deal with that person. You felt like, listen, we don't mesh like that. We don't get along like that. I don't understand them. They don't understand, but God understands them. God understands her. God understands him. And you got to understand the favor of God is upon them. That's the one that God is going to use. That's the one that God is going to place the crown upon the head. And that's the one that is going to have the authority. That's the one that will be calling the shots and making the decisions. And that's the one that God is going to anoint. And that is the one that God is going to give an authority to save of the people, right? And so when we go back over to Genesis chapter number 50, right? And we find ourselves started back at verse number 19. It says what? And Joseph said unto them, because now where we are in scripture, Joseph has revealed himself unto his brothers. And you got to understand, they are afraid because they're saying, how is he about to respond? How is he about to react? Out of all these years that have gone by, we ain't come looking for him, none of that stuff. We let our fathers believe that wild animals have taken him out and all of this stuff. We actually came together and we made a decision to put him or sell him to the travelers. So we sold him into slavery. How shall he respond? How is he going to react? Concerning the fact that he now has such an authority, he can lock us up in the same manner that he was locked up. He can call for our heads if he chose to. And so it says, and Joseph said, fear not, fear not, fear not, for I For am I in the place of God? And what Joseph is saying, there is an authority that I have. Yes, there is a position that I have. Yes, but you got to understand, although I'm a man in authority, although I'm a man in a position of power, I still rule and rest under someone who's higher, who's greater than me. I still come subject to the King of Kings. I still subject myself to the Lord of Lords. And you got to understand, see, if it had not been for God, somebody loving God the way they love God, somebody submitting themselves the way they submitted to God, you will be in trouble. You got to understand, because some of you, you're that one, you're in a position to make decisions, and listen, folk have not suffered at your hand because you yield yourself to the Most High God. I've seen it time and time again where things have popped off in the life of our apostle, but because he was a submitted man out to the Most High God. Listen, folk, and this was my saying right here. I say, folk don't understand the grace that's upon their life, because I done told him many a days, man of God, you ain't got to say nothing. Just get the bail money ready, because I go take care of the dirty work and I repent after I do what I do. Oh, that's the real truth. I said it. I ain't going to hide from it. Many days I told him, you ain't got to fight nobody. I knock their teeth cold slam out of their mouth. All I need you to do is just have the bail money ready. Just get me out. Don't leave me in the prison. I don't want to have a jail ministry. God ain't called me to the prison, but to go and minister. You got to understand, he ain't called me to abide in there and preach from behind the bars. You got to understand. So just have the bail money ready is all I'm saying. But you don't understand. I'm so glad that he was a man that was submitted to the presence of God, to the spirit of God, to the power of God. He would say, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to pray. That's what? How they folk coming sideways and twisted at us? We about to pray. Yes, we're going to pray. And it's not just strangers, some people in the family. We even had family members that would approach us sideways, and he would say, no, we can go and act the fool, but we're gonna pray. And matter of fact, God said, if you fight, I won't fight for you, so be quiet. And we chose to fall back, and we chose to keep our mouth closed. And I have seen the word of the Lord come to pass, how God fought for us. I have seen how God has delivered us. I have seen what God has been doing concerning my family. You got to understand, you got to be submitted. Even when you are in a position of authority, can you still be subject and not abuse the authority, not abuse the power that God has given you? Do you know how to handle power? Do you know how to handle authority properly? So it says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? I am not God. Listen, you got to understand, I move at the beat of God. Whatever God says to do, that's what I'm going to do. Egypt was only successful as it was because I submitted myself to the Most High God. It was God that gave me the wisdom and the understanding on how, when the famine came, on how to survive. Not just me personally, but a nation. Not just the nation of Egypt, but the nation of Israel. It was God that gave me this wisdom, this wherewithal on what I was supposed to do to save two nations at once. You got to understand. So I am submitted to a higher power, to a higher being. That is Jehovah. That is Yahweh. That is Yeshua. That is the Christ, the Messiah. I yield my life to him. My heart is devoted to him. I surrender to him. I move according to what he says to do. So he says, but as for you, he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, right? You thought evil against me. And remember, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people. Simply put, Joseph said, it really wasn't about me. I was just a vessel for God to use to save a people. I was just a vessel for God to use to do something in a people. Oh, I bless the name of God, because this is about a people. God is now doing something in a people. What we've been hearing for years and years and years and years, God is now performing something in a people, and it is the Lord's doing. And what God is doing, it is marvelous in the eyes of the Lord. What God is doing, it is about a people. So he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. And there were some people, they have thought evil against you, right? They have thought evil against you. They have tried to work evil against you, whatever the case may be. They have tried to coerce you, persuade you, seduce you. They have tried to stop and block you pertaining the will of God, the words of God. They have tried to trick you and deceive you and manipulate you. And they meant it for your evil, right? He says, but God meant it unto my good. And that's where we get the title of the text, but God meant it. And you got to understand, when you talk about this meant it in the Hebrew, it is talking talking about. You got to understand, I know what you thought, but there is one whose thoughts are not your thoughts, whose thoughts are much, 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 much higher than yours, as high as the heavens are from the earth. This is how high his thoughts are in comparison to you. And so I know what you thought about me. And even if you didn't reveal what you thought about me, there is a one who had greater thoughts about me. And you got to understand, he's the one that is seated on the throne, who has all honor, all glory, dominion, and power. I am so interested in what he thinks about me, because it supersedes what you thought about me. You got to understand, because what he was thinking, he meant it for my good. So in this meant it, in the Hebraic, it talks about to think or to plan. So we see the thoughts or the plan denoting the purposes of God. God had a purpose for my life. Even though you were thinking what you were thinking, God loved me enough to override what you were thinking. You got to understand, he overrode what you were thinking concerning me. What you opted to do, planned to do, listen, he intervened, he blocked it, he stopped it, and he interrupted the plans of the enemy. Even if you was acting as the enemy, he interrupted it. And I bless his name, because he meant it unto good for us. So this meant it talks about to think or to plan or to weave, right? When you talk about the tapestry of life, right? The tapestry of life, if you really go and look back over your life, like the old folks say, when I look back over my life and I see where the Lord has brought me from, you got to understand, all the rejection, all the hurt and pain, all the trauma that you've experienced, different ways if you experience trauma, mental trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma, trauma on and in the soul, all of these particular traumas that we've experienced. Listen, God was weaving all these things in the tapestry of life to work for your good. And there were some traumas that you came out stronger. There were some traumas that you dealt with. You had a different perspective about things. You begin to see things for what they really were. Because had that not happened to you, listen, you would have still had some blindness over your eyes, not seeing things the way God intended for you to see him. You would have been seeing things incorrectly, but thank God, thanks be unto God that he allowed me to go through what I went through, because listen, there was a glory that's still being revealed in what I went through. That thing strengthened me. I came out stronger. I came out with more knowledge. I came out with more wisdom. I came out with more understanding. Matter of fact, some things happened. Listen, it broke selfishness off of me. Now I give more than I ever gave before, because you know what? I say, God, I don't ever want to be in that place again, so I'll give freely, God. I'm so glad he allowed me to go through things that break. It was shaping, it was molding, it was help fashioning me who I was supposed to be. Thank God he was sending the word, right? And see, this is what I tell God: shape me by your word, God. Mold me by your word, God. Fashion me according to your word, God. Yeah, you got to understand, I need the word of God to shape me, to mold me, to fashion me, to establish me, right? So even when these things were taking place in my life, God was utilizing it to shape us, utilizing it to fashion us, utilizing it to establish us, utilizing to mold us into the image that he desires for us to be seen in. So he's taking all these different things that you consider to be hurt and pain, those things that you consider to be good and awesome. He's taking all of that and he's weaving it in this tapestry of life, because there is a glory that shall be revealed from all of this, right? So even those moments that we felt like the enemy had us down for the count, God was taking it and weaving it, saying, listen, I'm working behind the scenes. It seems like, it looks like, it feels like that the enemy is about to take you out, but I meant it for your good. Yeah, because do you understand? God will let your enemy teach you some things. And what I found, that when you can't learn from God, God will let your enemy teach you something. Oh, come here, Paul. Talk to us, Paul. Paul said, listen, I turned them over to the enemy so that they will learn not to blaspheme. Yo, you got to understand, God will let your enemy teach you something that you refuse to hear or learn from God himself, or that you will refuse to hear or learn from God's man or woman servant. God will see fit that you learn what you're supposed to learn, right? Get the principle. Understand the principle. You can throw the experience out the door, but learn. Come away with the wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. What is the wisdom that you were supposed to take away from what you encountered, what you've endured? And most of us, we go through things only having to repeat that cycle again. Why? Because you failed to come away with the principle or the wisdom that you were supposed to grab through that encounter or experience. So, because you failed to hear God, God will let an enemy teach you. If you failed to hear him or failed to hear his man or woman servant, with all of his infinite wisdom, God will see fit to allow an enemy to teach you. Because he's still going to let that work together for his good and work together for your good. So he said, listen, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. And here lately, y'all have been hearing me saying, listen, this is about a people. There is something that God is doing on the inside of a people. So God allows certain things to happen. Might not be what we want. We probably wouldn't have drew up the blueprints like this. We probably would have had a whole nother vision, whole nother picture, whole nother image. Oh, but thanks be unto God. What God is doing, it is marvelous in the sight of the Most High God, because there is something that is taking place in the people. There is an anointing that is growing inside of a people. There is a faith that is arising in a people. There is a trust that is arising in the people, that we're not staggering at the promises of God, but we'll be strong in faith, now giving glory to the Most High God. What we've been taught to do, what we see and doing, now we're having to move and operate as one body in what we've been seeing take place. It's now time for a people, not an individual, not two or three people, but a people. As we see the scripture said, listen, God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. This is about a people. Take your eyes off the individual. If you're going to put your eyes on the individual, place them upon God. Your eyes should be fixed upon God. God, what are you doing? You should be looking toward the hills from which cometh our help, seeking the face of God. What are you doing, God? What is the next move? What is the next instruction, God? Give me the next direction. Where am I supposed to go? How to do this thing, God? But God, it is about a people. I can't afford to error. We can't afford it, because it is about a people. And all I know, lately some things have been, God, I feel like God has been dealing with me about showing and speaking to me. There is something that God wants to do in this Western part of the world that we're not accustomed to seeing. Because in this Western part of the world, typically all we see in regards to the kingdom of God, all we see in regards to as Christians, we see folk building platforms and building brands. But when are people going to rise up and build lives? When are people going to say, this is about the glory of the Lord being revealed? This is about the kingdom of God being advanced. This is about the kingdom of God making headway. This is about the kingdom of God breaking forth on the kingdom of darkness. And this ain't about how many likes you get and how many views you get on YouTube and how many likes you get on Instagram and all of that stuff. This is about Yeshua, the Messiah, being lifted up. This is about lifting up the Christ, that he will draw all men unto himself. This ain't about how many folk go to your church. I want to know, when was the last time somebody got delivered from a devil? I want to know the last time, when was a miracle performed? When did you see the signs? And when did you see the wonders? We haven't saw it. And God is trying to raise up a people that this type of anointing and this type of authority, he can utilize him in the earth realm, so that there is a glory that has not been seen here can be seen, so that it can be witnessed, so that people would know that there is a God. And we find ourselves moving in society like back to the days of Noah, where people were doing what's right in their own eyes. What? I almost fell out my shell last night when I asked them, my wife and children, while we were seated around the dinner table talking. I said, what happened concerning the child, the Rittenhouse child? And they told me the boy got, I said, what? But it goes to show you, society, this culture here, we are moving back to the days of Noah, where we're doing what's right in our own eyes. You got the clear evidence, but yet you still decided to say, listen, not guilty, not guilty. What in the world? There has got to be a people that will rise up with such an anointing and such an authority that is willing to tell the truth, unashamed. Not willing to compromise, but boldly willing to declare what thus saith the Lord, to speak the truth, to live the truth. Got too many closet Christians. You got to understand, the LGBTQ and XYZ 125, they done came out the closet. But you got closet Christians still abiding in the closet. The anointing that is upon your life is here behind closed door. The authority that you should be moving and operating and speaking in, it is here behind closed door. Come out of behind the closed doors. Come out of the closet. God has set you free. Why are you still abiding in the closet? Don't be afraid to be the man of God. Don't be afraid to be the woman of God. Don't be afraid to move and exercise the authority that God has given you. This is about a people. God is trying to save a people. Listen, but in order for God to save a people, meaning sinners, he had to send a savior, that being his son, right? And listen, God is still trying to introduce people into his son, the savior, Jesus Christ, the savior of the whole world. They won't know Jesus if you don't lift him up. Stop being ashamed to let folk know you saved. All your Jesus paraphernalia, you only wear at home. Only time we hear you pumping your Jesus music is when you got something in your ear where everybody else can't hear it. But when you was a sinner, man, a sinner woman, you had your windows down trying to blast with your little 15 woofers back there or your little Tweety Bird speakers, factory speakers, trying to blast your little music. Yeah, you was trying to let everybody know it's about Pop, me and my girlfriend, all eyes on me. And Biggie, you understand all the stuff that you was playing. Yeah, you wanted everybody to hear, know you were coming. But nowadays, don't nobody know you're a believer. Except for other Christians. We already know you're a believer. Let somebody else know you're a believer. He says, now therefore fear ye none. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So everything that has happened, God has let it be so to put me in a position, the place that I'm in, to do what I'm doing. So because God was moving and manipulating things behind the scene, being intentional concerning my life, he said, listen, you don't have to fear because I have submitted myself to the one who has all authority, all power in his hand, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He said, because of my position, because of the favor that I have, because what's at my disposal, he said, listen, I would nourish you and your little ones. God is so fit that, listen, he's going to provide for all of us at the same time. He's going to take care of all of us. And then the scripture says, well, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. See, for most of us, that becomes difficult. It becomes hard for us to speak kind words to folk we feel like have done us wrong. You got nothing to say. Matter of fact, you ain't got nothing to say to them. Because if I say something, I will not be talking with my mouth. I will be talking with my hands or with something in my hands. I will not be talking with my mouth, you got to understand. But Joseph, the man of God, he comforted them and spake kindly. He had kind words to speak to them. I can only imagine. Listen, Reuben, I forgive you. Simeon, I forgive you. Issachar, I forgive you. Judah, don't worry about it. It's all right. Because you got to understand, I told you earlier, you meant it for my evil. God meant it for my good, so it's all right. I love you anyhow. I forgive you. You're my brother. I'm your brother. You're my sister. I'm your sister. Can you speak those kind words? Can you speak those kind words? He says, and I never fear. Not never fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And comfort them and speak kindly unto them. So I want to encourage you, as we're talking about the scripture, God meant this thing for your good. If you just take the first two words of the title, you will see, no matter what the enemy has tried to do, but God. No matter what the enemy is trying to speak, say, lie about, deceive about, manipulate about, but God. No matter when I wanted to yield to what the enemy was saying, no matter the days I wanted to believe what the enemy was saying, but God. When I wanted to throw in the towel and give up, but God threw the towel back at me and I had to catch it. Yes, but God. When I said enough is enough, but God. Sometimes what you think is enough is just your beginning. Sad, but it's true. But there is a grace even to endure that. Why? Because God meant it unto good. So what am I saying? God has a way to bring good out of what you believe has been bad, rough, painful, undeserving. God has a means of bringing good out of it. Will you allow God to be God? Will you allow God to work behind the scenes? You're so busy saying, I don't see you. what Joseph understood is what he was told by his father, God shall do. He made us a promise, he shall do. You're so busy looking for the promise to come to pass, seeing how he's going to bring the promise to pass, rather than just trusting what he said. Because you've got to understand, if he cannot lie, what he said in and of itself is a promise. He is working on the promise. And it's not that the promise is difficult to bring about. The difficult thing within the equation, it is you. Remember, you and I can be the difficult ones many, many, many days. So while God is working on the promise, work on you. While God is working on the promise, allow God to work on you and work in you at the same time. What he said, he will do. There is no if, and, buts about. He shall. He will do. He is going to do it. Do you believe it? If not, then there's an issue with your faith. I believe the word of the Lord. All I've been saying, the word of the Lord, it is so. The word of the Lord, it is so. And when you understand the word, everything is going to go down. Everything is going to crumble. Everything is going to pass away except the word of God. Except the word of God. Except what he said. It's got to last. So I implore you, I encourage you, trust God, believe God, what appears, seems to be, feels like, that you interpret to be evil. Know that God is going to turn that thing for the good, because he's God. There is a glory that he wants to be revealed in a people, because this is about a people. It wasn't just about Joseph. We can deceive ourselves thinking it was about Joseph, but Joseph had to say out of his own mouth, I had to go through all of this because God wants to save a people. Sometimes you have to go through what you're going through because it's for a people that is connected to you. Some people that you even fail to recognize, pay attention to, but God sees them. In order for them to be who they're supposed to be and do what God desires for them to do, you must be and do what God needs you to do. It's about a people. Remember, I said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It was about a people. It was about a world that God sent his son, about a people. At any point, Jesus could have called for a host of angels to come. It's God. He could have got down himself. But he stayed because it was about a people. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than I. It's about a people. So I encourage you, get your faith up. In order to do that, hear the word so that your faith can arise and so that your healing can come forth. Hear the word so that you can believe. And even though the enemy meant it for evil, God is going to turn it for your good. Amen.